Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 91st episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of Batman, the animated series. This week, we have a personal favorite episode of mine, so let's go ahead and learn why sometimes it's better to be alone. The story of my life. Let's dance the dance, they dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Double Talk, original air date November 22nd, 1997. We start off at Arkham Asylum, where a huge clock with crooked hands spins in the middle of the screen. Huh, a clock. Then we see a silhouette of a man with round glasses. Oh no. No. Not him. Don't tell me this is a Clock King episode. Whew. Okay, so it's actually Arnold Wesker, the ventriloquist. He steps out of a cell and he sees a playground across from him. He climbs some steps but hears a voice behind him calling him Dummy. Wesker starts to run, but the steps move in place and he seems to be running to nowhere. He runs as fast as he can, but there's a wooden chest behind him, jumping up and down, chasing him, always behind him. Wesker trips and everything turns white. Then a black shadow explodes and morphs into a bat demon. The bat demon engulfs the screen in black when suddenly there's gunfire. Scarface's old henchmen, Rhino and Muggsy, are shooting at something. Wesker begs for it to stop, but suddenly Scarface the puppet, if you remember Scarface the wooden dummy, breaks free from the wooden chest and jumps on top of Wesker. Scarface points the gun at him and shoots Wesker right in the face. Wesker wakes up in his cell in a cold sweat. He looks to his nightstand and we see a certificate from Arkham Asylum declaring him to be rehabilitated and ready to be released. Whoa! That was awesome, and that's only like the first 3 minutes of the episode. And also, you can see the standards of the cartoon have changed from their move from Fox to WB, as one of the rules on Fox was to never have a character shoot a realistic-looking gun directly at the camera. This is done here in several episodes. We've only done, I think this is like the fifth episode of this new season, and they've already done this like a whole bunch of times. They're just shooting you in the face. Arnold Wesker, talks to his doctor about having that dream again. She says it's okay. She tells Wesker that he's just nervous about leaving Arkham, and as long as he stays away from his past, his alternate personality will be suppressed. Then Wesker mentions that it's going to be strange to be out there alone. And I mention this because I love how when he says this, he points, because he's wiping sweat off his brow, and then he points at his head with his finger. But it looks like if it's like to scratch it, it's like very subtle if he's saying it's going to be weird being out there alone, kind of like pointing at his brain because, you know, there's his whole problem with the Scarface personality. Arnold Wesker moves into an apartment complex called Wayne Gardens Halfway House. He is taken to his room by a little person and she gives him the 411.
It isn't much, but it should help you get back on your feet. Here's where you report in the morning. You've been placed in the jobs program at Wayne Enterprises.
After all the harm I've done, a new home, a second chance. There must be a guardian angel watching over me.
Batman stands outside the window watching Wesker and then leaves. At Wayne Enterprises, we see Bruce Wayne and Lucius Fox putting $2 million in bonds into a vault that can only be opened via voice command from Lucius or Bruce. Behind them, Wesker walks by in his new job. He is the person who delivers the mail inside the office. Bruce walks over to Wesker and congratulates him on his progress. And Wesker seems very happy. He says that he's also proud of his progress. At the end of the day, Wesker walks over to the bus stop where he is approached by Muggsy and Rhino. As I mentioned earlier, they are Scarface's old henchmen. So Rhino is that enormous dude who's like built like a house, and Muggsy's like, you know, the weird skinny mobster guy. They bully Wesker, asking him where Scarface is at. They push Wesker around, but Batman shows up. Rhino attacks Batman and has a pretty cool fist fight with him. And I mentioned this in the first appearance of Rhino, but he is voiced by the Doctor from the Terminator movies. And if you're a fan of the Terminator movies, you know exactly which Doctor I mean. He is the one that had Sarah Connor put in the institution in the second movie. He is the psychiatrist in the first one that treats her before Arnold crashes his car into the police station. He is the Doctor in part 3 where when he sees Arnold carrying the casket, he gets scared out of his mind and runs away. I forgot the actor's name, but he's pretty cool. And it's so weird that this guy is doing the voice of Rhino, because Rhino's like, "Hey, gee, boss, what are we gonna do next?" But if you look at the dude, he looks like just a normal, like, skinny, balding accountant or something, you know? So it's pretty cool. So Muggsy tries to attack Batman from behind, but gets taken out by the patented Batman backhand punch. You know the one. You know what I'm talking about. The one where Batman raises one arm and he's like, BAM! Like, he doesn't do much, he just raises an arm and you run into his fist. Muggsy gets one of those right in the mug. Hell, I get it. Wesker runs away as Batman continues fighting. Batman takes out Rhino with a hammer blow to the jaw. And no, he didn't take out an actual hammer. A hammer blow is when you put both your hands together, cross your fingers, and like whack somebody in the back. But Batman used it on his jaw. Muggsy tries to sneak attack again, but gets a second Batman punch. And Batman tells them that Wesker is off limits. Wesker reaches his apartment and starts drinking a glass of water, trying to calm down, when suddenly he hears a familiar voice in his head.
What's the matter, dummy? Having a bad day?
Who's there?
Thought you could get rid of me, huh? Pull some sort of psychobabble snuff job.
No. No.
Well, I'm coming back, and I got a score to settle with you.
No. Please. It can't be.
Nobody pushes Scarface around.
The next day, Wesker is on his way to work and walks through the park. And, wait, what the hell? So Clark Kent and Lois Lane are just, like, chilling in the background. They're just, like, laying on the grass. I would say they're having a picnic, but they're not. They're just, like, sitting on the grass. And I mentioned that because I've seen this episode several times. As I mentioned, it's one of my personal favorites. But this is the first time I ever noticed this. So that's pretty cool. After years of watching it, I find something new about it. That's always cool. Anyway, Wesker walks by somebody doing a ventriloquist act in the park.
Sure, she was cute, but she had termites and she wouldn't get herself fumigated.
Was that an STD joke? Anyway, so the guy's puppet suddenly turns into Scarface in Wesker's eyes. He runs to the bus stop, but he sees Scarface staring at him from the window. He's in the office now, and Wesker is just a nervous wreck. He's dropping mail and almost running over people with his little mail cart. He runs into Bruce Wayne, who notices how nervous Wesker is. Wesker says he's okay and walks away, but he drops his cart and spills all the letters. As he's picking up the letters, he finds one that has the word dummy written on it in huge letters. He opens it and it says for him to wait by the phone at 9 p.m. Bruce walks over to help Wesker, but Wesker just, he just like yells and runs away. It's like a Simpsons moment. It's like Homer when he just goes like, and runs away. So Wesker does that. He does a little scream, runs away, and then Bruce Wayne finds the envelope on the floor. Wesker is at his home waiting by the phone when suddenly it rings. Wesker doesn't pick it up, and it goes to his answering machine, and then he hears the Scarface voice.
This isn't happening. It's just my imagination.
Hello, this is Arnold. Please leave a message. Thank you. Dummy, I know you're there. Pick up. All right, how about this? Pick up the phone or I pop a blood vessel in your head. 1, 2.
But you're gone. I'm cured.
Cured? I ain't a case of the sniffles, dummy. And I don't roll over just because some quack waves a $2 watching me. Nobody pulls my strings, dummy. Especially not you.
No, I don't want you back. You can't.
Shut up. Did I ask your permission? I'm giving the orders here.
But you're not real.
No? Look across the street.
Yes, sir, Mr. Scarface.
Batman is on the roof of the building, listening in on the call. Wesker looks at a phone booth across the street, and he sees Scarface sitting inside. Batman looks at the booth and sees the same thing. Batman jumps to the street below, but Scarface is gone. He sees a shadow running into an alleyway, and he gives chase. Batman is then face to face with Scarface, who is moving around on his own. So, for those of you listening to this for the first time, or you just don't remember who Scarface is, he is a wooden ventriloquist dummy, so he should not be able to move around on his own, unless he's possessed or magic, but something as silly as those things will never happen in this Batman animated universe. God, they will. Scarface shoots at Batman with a machine gun, but Batman disarms him with a batarang. Scarface runs into a building where giant stone statues are stored. So all those statues from the Joe Schumacher Batman films, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, they're all like stored here. It's like a bunch of giant statues. Batman runs inside and he sees Scarface. He catches up to him, but this time it's literally a wooden dummy. Batman gets smacked in the face by a scaffold thrown at him by another Scarface. So that Scarface then breaks a statue in half that almost crushes Batman. Scarface then uses a crane to knock over all the statues and bury Batman underneath the rubble. Scarface runs away, but Batman gets out from under the dirt and chases him. Outside, Batman is almost run over by a car, but saves himself by grappling to the roof of a building. Then Scarface gets inside the car and escapes. Back in the Batcave, and Batgirl is analyzing Scarface's voice. Why is she Batman's sidekick now? Where the hell's Robin? Anyway, she figured out that the voice sounds the same, but it's not Wesker who's doing the voice. Batman says that he found a speaker inside Wesker's apartment and knows exactly who wants to torture that poor man. Now, I mentioned the speaker part because there's a scene that doesn't make sense. When he gets the phone call, Wesker is talking to Scarface, and at one point he drops the phone, but the conversation continues. So Scarface continues talking, but Wesker is sitting on his couch with the phone on the floor, yet he can still hear everything, and so can Batman. So if the voices are in Wesker's head, then how is Batman hearing it? So that's why this part where he shows that he found a speaker hitting in his apartment makes sense. Wesker arrives home from work, and he finds the Scarface dummy on his couch.
How long are you going to stand there and stare? Give me a ballpark so I can plan my day. Pick me up already! Good boy. Better look sharp, you smugs. Scarface is back.
We're at some rundown building where a little person is getting home. Now, for those of you rolling your eyes about why I'm calling them little persons and not the M word, I know that a lot of little people actually don't mind or don't care if they're called the M word, but I only call them that when I'm referring to wrestling or sideshows, because I feel that wrestling and sideshows, they don't mind being called midgets. But I'm not going to call them that when they're just supposed to be regular humans out in the world. So for anybody rolling their eyes and going, oh, I'm Batman, the podcast is all PC and liberal now, whatever. So this guy steals the paper and some milk from neighbors, and he walks into his apartment. Batman and Batgirl are waiting inside, and we then proceed to have them beat up a little person for the next 10 minutes. It's really weird. Batman is just having fun, just beating the hell out of somebody who's literally half his size. I don't know why they would animate that, especially for 10 minutes. Like, jeez. So after the beating, Batman finds a Scarface costume and asks the little person, who is a man named Hips McManus, to tell him. Dude, McManus squeals, like, easily. I mean, like, he just straight out tells them without a fight or a struggle. I mean, after being beat for 10 minutes. So he says that he was hired to play Scarface by Rhino and Muggsy, and he has nothing to do with their plan. Dude, you just destroyed an entire building full of statues. You're going to jail. Also, he tells Batman that Rhino and Muggsy are doing a job that night at Wayne Enterprises. Like, seriously, this dude just tells everything. So at Wayne Enterprises, we see the ventriloquist, and okay, so we see the ventriloquist with Rhino and Muggsy and Scarface. They have kidnapped Lucius Fox, and they're forcing him to open the safe with the bonds that we saw earlier. $2 million. Fox is laid unconscious by Rhino, and they proceed to steal the money. Batman and Batgirl show up, but Scarface stops them by threatening to shoot Fox. Batgirl and Batman are locked inside the vault with a bomb that Scarface brought with him. As he said, it's something I brought with me in case Fox here came down with a case of lockjaw. So Scarface and his gang escape to the roof. Inside the vault, Batgirl says she could hack the wires to open the vault door, but they need time. Batman says time is something they don't have. Batman shoots his grapple into the air ducts, and he ties the bomb to it, so it's dragged away and it explodes in another room. So hopefully there wasn't like a janitor or something around, and that thing just like killed him. So on the roof, Scarface has turned on his gang.
Now freeze.
What's the matter, boss?
Shut up! Drop your Roscoes and throw the take over here.
This ain't funny, boss.
No, but it's a laugh riot. You blockheads thought you could impressionate me. You thought you could decide when I was coming out? You could have ruined my plan.
What plan?
I was playing possum, laying low till the heat was off. But then you two numbskulls start up. And when the muscle starts thinking it's the brains, then it's time to amputate.
No, Mr. Scarface, please don't kill them.
Butt out, dummy, or you can walk the plank too.
Boss, please, we didn't mean no harm.
Yeah, boss, we just needed you is all.
Yeah, yeah, you're breaking my heart. Sayonara, chumps.
Rhino and Muggsy are standing on a bridge, and Scarface throws a bomb at them. The bridge explodes, and Muggsy and Rhino are left hanging from a falling rail. Batman and Batgirl show up. Batman knocks Scarface off of Ventriloquist's hands with a batarang, and Batgirl saves Muggsy and Rhino by shooting a grapple and lowering the falling rail to a grate below. Batman, the Ventriloquist, and Scarface have a showdown.
Arnold, don't do this.
It's out of my hands.
He's the puppet, not you.
Don't listen to him, dummy. He's playing you like a cheap fiddle. Do him already.
I'm sorry.
Come on, what are you waiting for? For once in your life, do something right.
Yes.
Wesker shoots Scarface and makes him fall into a huge spinning fan blade below. Scarface is ground up into dust, and Batman takes the gun from Wesker. We cut to Wesker talking to his landlady.
And Mr. Wayne even gave me my job back.
I'm so glad, Oni. Maybe now that you're back, you won't be such a stranger this time. Use the rec room. Sometimes it helps to be around others.
I will. But for right now, I'm just looking forward to being by myself.
The end. All right, let's do some after show notes. Now, I really like the redesign of Arnold Wesker and Scarface. So Wesker looks more sympathetic with less hair, and we're able to see his eyes this time around. So before, he used to have the same round glasses, but they were reflective, so you couldn't actually see his eyes, which I guess was the point to make him look more expressionless, to make him appear, because the whole gimmick here is that the dummy's the one in charge. So the dummy looked alive. Scarface was very expressive, but Arnold Wesker was really quiet. He had his reflective lenses on, so he couldn't really see his expressions. So he almost looked like he was like a dummy himself. So I like the fact that you can't see his eyes here. He has less hair. He looks, I don't know why, he reminds me a lot of, like, if he was a Simpsons character. Like, if you just paint him yellow and throw him in the Simpsons, he would remind me, like, he could fit into that world. He's like a mix of Gil from The Simpsons, like a Gil and Hans Moleman. I don't know, he's very sympathetic, and I like his character here. You really feel bad because he's really trying to turn his life around, and everybody's just messing with him. So I really like that. The Scarface dummy looks great. This time he's wearing a white suit instead of blue, and he has a big head, like he's a wooden dummy. The other dummy looked cool, but he always kind of looked like that Italian mafia stereotype, like if he was a caricature of Al Capone. But this time, he still kind of looks like that, he has a big head, like a big blockhead, like literally blockhead. He's more square, so he's not as round, he's not as cute as he... I mean, you wouldn't necessarily call him cute, but he's not as cute as he used to be. He's more square looking, he has like really thick, like a really thick unibrow. He looks really cool, I really like him a lot. Now, Rhino and Muggsy, they look almost the same. Muggsy, as I mentioned, he's just a standard skinny mafia dude in a suit. But Rhino, he's like huge mountain of muscle. I mean, there's really not much you could do with him. So he still kind of looks the same, but he's still pretty cool. I've always liked Rhino. This is the last appearance of Wesker and Scarface in the animated series. So we can assume that Arnold Wesker was actually cured and just never reverted back. Hopefully he's just working at Wayne Enterprises until he has to retire or something. I don't know. He's a character that I think I would actually like to have a happy ending for. As I mentioned, he's very sympathetic. All right, so why don't we get to the Batcave Archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, the Batcave Archives is the part of the show where we rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 91. So if you want to see the full list, you can join the I'm Batman the Podcast group on Facebook, where I update the list. I was usually say every week, but I haven't done it in a while. But I try to keep updating it regularly. At number one, on our list, we have the episode Almost Got Him, and that's the episode where all the villains play poker and they tell their best Batman stories. Now, honestly, this episode is a personal favorite of mine, and I make no apologies for it. This episode belongs in the top 10. This is a great episode, and I've always liked it. I really like that, especially from the redesign era, where the first few episodes were very hit and miss for me. The last episode got better, but this episode, as so far from the last season, is one of the best. It's really, I would call it a hidden gem, because not many people talk about this one. I really like this one a lot. So I definitely believe this one belongs in the top 10. So the top 10, we have Almost Got Him at number 1. And number 2, The Man Who Killed Batman. This episode kind of reminds me of that, because Arnold Wesker is a very little meek man, kind of like a Sid the Squid was in that one. Number 3, Beware the Great Ghost. That episode's great. With Adam West reprising. Well, he didn't reprise this role, but Adam West playing like the old school superhero that Batman looks up to. His Silicon Soul, that's the episode with the robot Batman. Number 5, Robin's Reckoning. That's the episode where we find out about Robin's origin. Really good. Number 6, Heart of Ice. Mr. Freeze episode. Everybody loves that one. And number 7, Two-Face Part 1. The origin of Harvey Dent. That one's really good. And number 8, Trial. Now, this is where I'm looking to put it. Because Trial is the episode where Batman gets put on trial by the criminals inside Arkham Asylum. And while that's a pretty fun episode, it's, you know, one of the... It's fun because you get to see all the villains. It really doesn't have much in terms of story, but it's still a cool episode. So this is sort of what I'm thinking of. At number 9, we have the episode Read My Lips, and that's the first appearance of Scarface. So as you can see, I put a lot of stock in Scarface. I really like the character, the ventriloquist in Scarface. And that first appearance was a really good episode. And at number 10, rounding off, we have Appointment at Crime Alley. That's a really cool story where they're trying to save the slums from being bombed by Roland Daggett. That one is really story-driven, and it's really cool. But you know what? I like this episode a lot. And I believe it is a better episode than Trial. It has more story. The characters are really good. And it's the story about the redemption of a bad guy. not necessarily about Batman, but I do like how they show Bruce Wayne doing what he can to help these guys out. It's not like he's just beating them to a bloody pulp and then that's it, which seems to be the Batman of nowadays. So I really like that he is trying to help some of these people out. So you know what? At number 8, we have Double Talk. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Remember, if you have any suggestions, thoughts, or questions on the episode or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, we are finally alone.
I hear voices in my head. They count for me. They understand. They talk to me. In your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to move your fate. I hear voices crying, I see heroes dying. Taste blood that's drying. I feel tension rising. I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me. They talk to me. They tell me things that I will do. They show me things I'll do to you. They talk to me. All the doctors are disease, and the preachers are sinners, and police just take the grease.